My name is Christina Weaver. I go by Breezy, and I am from Mullins, West Virginia.
How do you remember your father? What role did he play as you were growing up?
When I was younger, my dad was around a lot. He was always the fun one. He would come and get me and take me to the playground, or come and get me, take me to the river. We would go to the beach, or, you know, he wasn't really the serious one. He was a lot more of the fun parent, where mom was more, had to be more the serious one. I don't really remember anything drug-wise until I get a little older, because I think mom really kept it from me. But he just was a really good dad. He would take me and do anything I wanted to do for when I was grown up, when I was younger.
So you mentioned drugs. So what's your first memory of there being some kind of a drug problem?
I remember when I was, I think it was around 8 or 9, but I'm not real sure. But I remember I went to stay all night with Dad, and some stuff happened, sort of, like, he's like, let's play hide and seek. So I went into this room and stayed there. And I remember calling mom, or mom called the house, and someone picked up that she didn't know. So she came and got me. And I think I was, you know, in this room by myself, and there was drugs being used in the main living room while I was there at the house. And that's really the first time I can really remember anything like that happening.
So it was like he said, let's play a game. And you went to go hide, and while he was in the living room doing drugs.
Yes, that's the first time I can recall the drug use.
When did you realize that that's what it was? Did you know that it was drugs at the time, or did you realize that your dad was trying to just, you know, put you off in a closet so that he could do drugs at the time?
No, mom kept it from me. I just remember her and my grandma coming to pick me up as soon as she had called to check on me. I didn't really realize it until I had been talking to mom again about that, and she told me what had been going on.
And how old were you when you talked to her about it? That night?
No, not that night. I was probably 11 or 12 when it started to get really bad. But then he married my stepmom, Miranda, and it was really good for a while, and I had my brother, Davey. But then I think things started going bad with them, and he started the drug use again when he really met this woman named Tabitha, and that was when I was about 15, 16. He met her, and then they had my sister. But he was really, when he met this woman named Tabitha, it just really got bad. His drug addiction got terrible. She just influenced it a lot. She would just encourage it, even though he had shown signs that he had wanted help. Like, he went to rehab and, you know, asked for help and was talking about he was going to get clean. He even called me and told me everything and just said that he really wanted to get clean, and he broke up with Tabitha. He wanted to get clean for my sister, who was on her way. She was, Tabitha was pregnant with her. And then I think after they had the baby, they just both relapsed.
So how old were you when he called you to tell you everything?
I was about 15 when he called me to tell me everything.
What did he say? Do you remember that conversation?
He just told me, he said, I know I haven't been there for you like I should, and I'm going to get clean, and I'm sorry for everything you've had to go through, and all the broken promises of, like, Disney World trips and vacations and doing this that I've just, you know, never went through with because, you know, I wasn't clean. And then he just, you know, talked to me. He said he wanted help, that he was going to go, you know, to this rehab facility and get help. Well, then he ended up getting arrested, and he was in jail. And then he got clean, and he had wrote letters to my papa, his dad, Gary Sears, and his wife, Janie Sears, talking about how he had been going to the church programs in the jail and really repented about it and prayed about it, and said he really wanted to, you know, get help. And then when he got out, he started talking to Tabitha again, who plays a really key role in Dad's addiction. Like, it was his choice, but she was, like, just that devil-on-the-shoulder type of character.
How do you want to remember your father?
I always remember my dad with a big smile on his face playing with the kids. He always played with kids. That was his favorite thing, was just, you know, having fun with all the younger ones in the family and me. He, you know, went to softball games of mine, and whenever we were together, he would practice. He actually taught me how to drive a clutch, my first car. I was 14. We were at the river in this big field, and he taught me how to drive a vehicle. That was one of my favorite memories of my dad. June 30th of 2015, when Dad overdosed and they found him. I was on a cruise, so I didn't know until later on what had happened. Because I was on, instead of going on a senior trip, I went with my mom and my cousin and my grandma and her aunt and her mama to the Bahamas. So we didn't really have cell phone signal or anything, and they were trying to keep it, so I didn't find out on social media, and they had told my mom, and I had glanced over her shoulder and read a text message, and that's how I found out. And it just really just, you know, put me into kind of like a shock, because that's the way I found out. And we were trying to get back on the boat, and you have to go through all this security and stuff, and I had saw her mom when we were getting closer to the boat and you could get back to the Wi-Fi. I had saw the text come across her screen, and she just looked like a ghost. So I just looked over her shoulder instinctively, and that's when I saw it, and I just like crashed. And it was hard to get through security because they didn't know what was going on, and I was crying, and it was just, you know, it was just difficult to have to process that all while everything else was going around, because my world stopped and then everything else was just kept on going. It just felt like, you know, something so detrimental had happened, but yet I could look around me and see that everybody else was just going on. They had no idea.
What did the text message say?
It read, "David died." That's the only part I really saw. I think my Aunt Laura had sent it. I really didn't pay too much attention. That's all I saw. And then I was, you know, just so upset. That's really all I could focus on.
When did you find out that he had overdosed?
My mom told me. She had talked to my Aunt Laura and told me what had happened that same day. Because we had found out pretty early, so my mom sat me down and talked to me and told me what had happened. And that was just, it was hard to hear. Because I just felt like my dad was only 38 and he just had so much more of his life to do. There's so much left to do. I'm getting married October 14th next year, and I don't have anybody to walk me down the aisle. Well, I do. I have my stepdad. It's just, I've always pictured my dad being the person to walk me down the aisle, so that's hard. It's hard to think about. It's just made a big difference in plans.
You seem to talk about it. I mean, you seem really calm, but I mean, I'm sure it still is difficult.
I have had a lot of questions. You know, people ask me, "Hey, how do you cope with this?" Because I'll tell them, you know, my dad, if I know somebody that is struggling with drugs or something, I always be like, "Listen, that's just not something you need to do. That hurts everybody around you when you start that. That's not you wanting to use drugs to get high. That is you breaking your family's hearts. Everyone around you wants to help you, and in the end, you're just going to have to help yourself, because no matter what anybody else does, no matter how hard people try, unless you really want to stop, then you're not going to stop, and then everybody is going to be heartbroken and feel like they should have done more. I feel like I could have done more. I know my Uncle Kevin feels like he could have done more. And my Aunt Laura feel like they could have done more. But in the end, I think I've learned to realize that unless somebody really, truly wants the help, they're not going to get it. No matter how hard you tell them you love them or how much you say, it would really make me happy if you could just, you know, stay clean and be there for me. Be a dad to me or be a brother to me. They don't hear it, because my dad one time told me, he said, I feel bad for not loving you the way I should and putting drugs first. He said, I have put my high, put getting high before you, and I regret that. And then he picked it up again and started doing it again. So I just think I've learned to realize that unless somebody really wants help, they're not going to go for it. But my dad also was in the Army. So I have to put that in there too, because he was never right when he came back from the war. And I know that in his mind he was fighting demons that none of us knew existed. And none of us were, you know, we couldn't help him with that because we didn't know what was going through his mind. But my Uncle Kevin, he's amazing, and he's never done drugs that I know of, and he's always been there, and he was in the war also, and I just think it affects everybody differently.
The drug problem in this area is still huge, and there's a lot of people that are still going through it right now. If you had anything to say for kids who might be just going through this cycle, who might have a parent who's addicted, advice for adults on how to help get the kids through, who might have a parent who's suffering from drug addiction?
My mom was there for me a whole lot. Like, she's kind of like my silent hero, because she would disagree with that, but she was there for me. My mom always stayed strong. She's not really the emotional one, and I just could see my mom being strong. So I would say for the parents to just stay strong for your kids and be there for them, and don't hide stuff from them. Just talk about it. My mom was always good to tell me what was going on. You know, she didn't hide things from me. And that was a big part of me knowing, you know, my dad just wasn't around because he couldn't be around, that he, you know, he was addicted and he didn't want to be, and he was getting that high. So I wasn't blaming my mom for him not being around. That I knew that it was the drugs. And for kids, I think find yourself a group of people to hang out with that are not going to be bad influences on, and that you can do healthy things with, like go to the movies or something like that. And, you know, get involved in a youth group with a church, because that's always good. That always helps, because you get to hang out with these kids that are going to put you in a on the right path and keep you there, and they'll be able to pray for you too, and that always helps.
And if you could back up and sum up your childhood in a few sentences, how would you sum it up?
It was good. My childhood was good. I have good memories of my dad, and I have wonderful memories just through my childhood. You know, I always knew there was something not right about it, because of my dad. But, you know, when you're a child, your parents, you unconditionally love them. So my childhood was really good, even through it all. I have really good memories.
What is probably your favorite memory of your dad?
My dad and I would always go fishing together at the river. And I remember this one time we went to this secret spot Dad had found. And I was catching so many fish that every time I would cast, he would have to come and help me get it off the hook, because I used to not get them off the hook. And he didn't even have time to put a worm on his hook. He said, we came fishing so we could both fish, he said, and you've outfished me by 25, because I haven't even got to throw my hook in the water. And that was a really good one, and that was his favorite place to be, was at the river at our cabin. So that's it was a good memory of my dad.
Do you miss him?
I do. I don't think I'll ever not miss him. Sometimes I just still be in the middle of the day and something funny will happen that I know my dad has a sense of humor like mine, and I'm like, Dad would think this is funny, I'm going to call him. Then I'm like, oh, well, you know, it hits home sometimes.
Do you think there are people who think less of your dad, or because of the way that he died? Or have you fielded some really tough questions that just kind of aggravated you that you didn't want to hear?
I think people have looked down on Dad for the way he passed away. Because they, you know, he did it to himself, of course. But they also don't know his story, what he was going through. You know, he tried to get help. He wanted to get help. But in the end, I think just everything that went through his mind just tore him down so much that he He really felt like he had no choice except to get high to get away from what was in his mind. You know, because rehab costed money, psychiatrists would cost money. And I think a lot of that was Dad needed someone that, you know, knew what they were doing to help him.
Anything else you want to add?
Just that, you know, if you're going through something like this, or you know somebody that is going through something like this, don't give up on them. Because in the end, if something does happen to them, you'll feel like you haven't done all you can. You just have to love them, even though they're making mistakes and they're going to make you mad. Just love them through it and pray for them. And, you know, do everything you can to help them, and don't look down on them. Because a lot of people will just look down on somebody with drugs and say you're a lost cause. And they're not. You know, people can be saved. They can be redeemed. You just have to, you know, be willing to stick it out and love them through it.
Was it frustrating for you loving your dad still? Or do you feel like there are people who gave up on your dad? Did you give up on him?
Sometimes I would think to myself I would have given up on Dad, and that I did. But then other times, you know, if my dad called me and said, "Hey, what are you doing? You want to see me?" I'd say, "Yes, of course I do. Whenever you can come in, I'd love to see you." I know I was mad at him when he passed away, which is really hard because I had a lot of anger. I had graduated, and he wasn't there, and he didn't call, and I was really mad. And I just think that my dad dying with me being angry at him, I think that hurts the most out of everything. And I just think that you just need to forgive what they do, because a lot of it is just their addiction. It's not them. It's not the person that you remember before drugs. It is their addiction is making them do everything they can to get high. And I think you just need to love them through it until you can get them back to that place that you remember them being before.
So you graduated from high school and he didn't come to graduation?
No, he missed my graduation, and I didn't get a phone call for him or anything. So that I just was angry at the time. And when I learned he had passed away, I felt really guilty for the anger I had been holding in.
It hurt.
It did. It hurt my feelings. Because he was my, you know, he's my dad. He was supposed to be there for me through all my big triumphs in life. And I just felt mad at him that he wasn't there.
But you still love him.
I've always loved him. You know, he was the first love of my life. My dad was. Like any girl, their dad is their first true love. So I'll always love my dad, even, you know, through all of his choices. And a lot of people have a hard time when I say that because, you know, they saw what he did and they don't understand why I don't look at other people as more of a father figure than my dad, because they were there for me more. But I just think, you know, my dad was there for me when I was so young, and I don't have any memories like that until I'm 8 or 9. So he was always there. He was always my dad. So, really, you know, I love him, and I always will.
Why do they call you Breezy?
I've just been called that since I was born.
Is it like a middle name, or?
My middle name is Brianne, and I think they get it from that as just a nickname, but I've always been called Breezy Girl from my whole family, and then it just got shortened to Breezy later on, but it's just been since I was little. That's what I've grown up being called.
Now, what kind of plans do you have after you graduate and you're an RN? Are you going to stay close, or?
Yeah, I'm going to stay close because me and my fiance are getting a house and going to keep land and cattle and horses and stuff up there. And we're going to stay close. And I'm going to try to get a job in either Beckley or Princeton with a clinic. So,
does anybody ever tell you you look like your dad?
Everybody tells me I look like my dad. Dad always used to say if he was a girl, he'd definitely be pretty, but he was unlucky and was a boy.
Do you think you look like your dad?
I do. I see pictures of my dad younger, and we look identical. we have the same eyes. That's what a lot of people say. It looks like they're looking into David's eyes when they look into mine. That's what I get a lot.